Morning, church. Good to be with you. I'm Pastor Sean. If you don't know, get the privilege of being a lead pastor of this amazing community. Struck by the inadequacy of words to describe our awesome God. Just was like thinking as I was sitting there, and we're just belting this out. Thank you, Laura and worship team. So many great songs, so many great phrases, so many beautiful ways to express the awesome power of God. And just realizing, like, what we just did was so much more effective, so much more meaningful and powerful way, an appropriate way to express the power of God than what I'm about to do. And so I just kind of go, okay, God, what do you do with that? maybe I should have had that realization before I got up here and we just did a worship service, right, and scrapped doing a message. But I just want to at least speak it, right, because I think there's truth in that reality. That while God's voice and his words are so powerful, like so often our words are just so inadequate and meaningless in comparison. And we can't do him justice. And as a preacher, as a pastor, I can't do what we just got to experience through worship. So praise the Lord for that. Sorry. He is holy, amen? He is good. He is unchangeable. He is sovereign. It's because of who he is that we worship him. And worship indeed is expressed in song. It's expressed through words. It's expressed through our actions. It's meant to be expressed with all of our life, not just a portion of it, not just what happens on Sunday morning, not just in music. We are meant to worship God with all of our being. Appreciated Ray's comment this morning at the beginning to recognize that our getting out of bed this morning was worship. The breakfast we had or didn't have, the coffee we drank or didn't drink, like all of that is worship. And that we would have that in our mind, that recognition that every moment of our life is an opportunity for worship if we will continue to keep him in mind as we do so. God is an omnipotent and all-powerful God. Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. He can do anything. He can do all things. He can do all possible things. Indeed, there is nothing that is possible to be done that is impossible for God to do. But there are things that he can't do. James 1:13 mentions one of those. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. God cannot do things that are in contradiction to his character. As we saw a couple weeks ago with the unchangeableness of God, that brings us great joy and hope. That although we have a God who is omnipotent, all-powerful, able to do all things, there are certain things that he can't do. And that one of those certain things, or the broad scope of those certain things, is he can't violate his character. His character is so perfect and beautiful and good that is great news for us. That we don't have to worry that our God is going to someday, at some point, act in a way that contradicts who he says he is. But God's omniscience and omnipotence means that he is able to do all that he wills to do. There's nothing that can keep God from doing his will. Everything that he desires to do, he can do. Everything that he wills to do, he will do. It will happen. But again, he can only do possible things that do not violate his character. And one of those things in regards to his will that we must keep in mind is that he can't force people to do his will. He wills that none should perish, yet some will indeed perish. Because the way to salvation comes through a free will choice to accept Jesus as Lord. One of the maybe best ways that we see the power of God revealed is through creation. It's amazing that we have this God who created all that's around us. Amazing his power, but amazing his creativity in doing so. The awesomeness of creation. In essence, this is why some who don't accept God as a creator would worship creation. It's not hard to see. I don't know about you, but I've seen some amazing sunsets, some amazing landscapes, some amazing storms, some amazing rainbows, some amazing views that I just go, wow, this is awesome. But God created. He's the all-powerful one who with his words spoke into creation all that is. It's an amazing reality that we think about this, that we have this God who is spirit, who is so transcendent and beyond us, so completely different than us, and yet he uses words to cause things to happen in our world, to cause the world to happen. Let there be light. For those that struggle with accepting that we have a God who still speaks today, I point back to creation account and say, he started speaking and he's not stopped. We can appreciate the Revelation 4:11 that emphasizes reality of God creating. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. When he created, he didn't create out of what he was made of, because he's not made of anything. When he created, he didn't create out of stuff that would already exist, because nothing existed before God chose to create. God created out of nothing. He created something brand new, never encountered before. Down to the smallest molecule, God created it all. If it is observable by the human eye, or even if it's not observable but exists, God created it. And he created it with the spoken word. Isaiah 55:10-11. I think I have that one. Oh, there it is. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. When God speaks, things happen. When we, again, as we've walked through these 40 days of prayer and considered these different attributes of God, his holiness, his unchangeableness, his sovereignty, and now his omnipotence, we are drawn to this awe of God, which we should. But we also recognizing like this contradiction that seems, or this tension that it seems, that this amazing and awesome being chose to create us. And when it comes to his power, we see this unbelievable truth that the God who can do anything chose to use his power on our behalf. He used his power to create us. He uses his power to sustain us. But he uses his power to do his good will in our life and through our life. He uses his power to save us, to redeem us, to heal us, to empower us. Jesus came to use God's power to save, not condemn. Again, this doesn't make sense in our minds. The one who rejects us, the one who rebels against us, the one who hates us, why would we come and save them? We would come to condemn them. But John 3:17-18 communicate this, a beautiful truth about Jesus' entrance and coming to the earth. He says, for I have not come, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Jesus came not to bring wrath and punishment, but to bring salvation. Unbelievable that this God who created, and unbelievable that he created humanity in the image of him to be able to have relationship with him. Unbelievable, but when that humanity rejects that relationship, he chooses to still pursue them. and to come and to live among them and to die for them, and then to use his power to resurrect from the dead, defeat sin and death, and free us from our slavery. Unbelievable. Jesus came to die and to resurrect and to defeat sin and death despite our rebellion. And he came to offer resurrection and life to each and every one of us. John 11, 25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." The hope of all who are in the kingdom of God, that though we die, yet shall we live. It's a hope that's not just kind of some wishful thinking. It's a hope that is based in the fact that God has already proven that he has power over death when Jesus resurrected from the grave. He has power to resurrect himself, but he is also offering that resurrection power to each and every one of us if we choose to worship him, if we choose to be reconciled to him. And Jesus didn't just come to save us and didn't just come to resurrect us, to offer resurrection, but he came with the power to protect us until eternity. John 10, 27 to 29. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." We are safe and secure, and we will be resurrected. Fear is no longer has a sting. Fear is no longer something we have to fear. Let's say that again. Death is no longer something we have to fear. Don't have to fear fear either, but death is no longer something for us to fear. We can face death with the confidence that when we breathe our last on this earth, immediately following, we will breathe our first in eternity with him. We also see that God used his power to redeem us. Jesus didn't just come to punish us, but to save us. But he came to purchase our freedom. He came to give us, to break the chains of sin and death, and to give us the ability to live in a different way, to live in accordance with the way that he created us to live. John 8, 34 to 36. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." One of the great truths of Scripture that we so often forget, we continue to allow sin to rule our lives, thinking that there's no way we can defeat it, but we have been set free. We don't have to go on sinning. Yeah, we still struggle with temptation. Yes, we're still going to have moments where we fail and fall into sin again, but we don't have to stay there. We can begin to see the reality of who we've been created for, to do the good works that God has set aside for us to do. And this redemption brings with it this new creation that he develops in us. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, the new has come." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that when we come to Jesus, when we accept him into our life and our heart, when we choose to live our life for him, he makes us brand new. And it's not like a new in the sense, this is similar to the end of time, right? When God comes back, the old heaven and the old earth passed away. It's not a passing away as if destruction, as if never to exist again. But he comes and he renews his creation. He makes it brand new the way that it used to be. And he does the same thing in us. When we come into the kingdom of God, we get renewed. We become brand new like we used to be. It's this new birth and this new life and this new opportunity to walk in the ways that we are designed to walk in. Praise the Lord that he makes us new. Jesus is continuing to help us live out this new life. Not only does he give us new life, not only does he break the chains of sin and death, but he also works with us to help us to enjoy this new life. It's like we don't understand all that we have. We don't understand. We've been so tainted by sin. We've lived so long with sin. It's all we've known. And so when we come into his kingdom, we need him to help us to understand what we have. To understand who we are, understand the life that he meant for us to live. And so he helps us, Philippians 1:6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at that day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Unbelievably, God uses his power to redeem us, to set us free, to make us new, and to help us to live out this new life that he's offered us. But he's also used his power to heal. Jesus has the power, and he uses his power to heal our bodies, our souls, our minds, and our relationships. We see this truth revealed in Isaiah before even Jesus showed up. Isaiah 53:5 showed up on earth at least. Isaiah 53:5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. By his sacrifice and his death, we have hope. Hope that the struggles and the pains, the broken relationships, the challenge to think right things and to do right things, the challenge of bodies that tend to fail over and over again in different ways. We have hope that Jesus will bring total healing. Not only has he given us a new life, he's given us new bodies, new souls, new minds, and new relationships. God is in the process of restoring things back to the way they were. And he does that in a creative sense of all of creation, but he's doing that individually in each of our lives as we surrender to him. He's in the process of reversing the effects of sin. Death is because of sin. Sin, our minds not thinking right, and evil thoughts and the depravity of our mind, that is because of sin. Relationships that are broken, where we're in this constant competition with one another, always, you know, jealous of one another, always working against one another, that is because of sin. And so God is working to reverse the effects of sin in our bodies and in our souls and our minds and our relationships. And because it's a process, we get to experience the power of God healing in part now, and in full in eternity. Our bodies get to and often do experience temporary healings now. There's times, I mean, we get healed all the time and don't even think about it, right? God has created our bodies to heal itself of all kinds of ailments. It's amazing what that design that he's got there. And then he's given us understanding of our bodies. And so we have this great and amazing medical field that's able to fix things in our body that our bodies aren't able to do on their own. Again, amazing and awesome, so good and so beautiful what God has done. And then there are times when, yes, indeed, God will step in and it's beyond the ability of the medical or our own bodies to heal itself, and he will step in and he can bring immediate healing in a miraculous way. Praise the Lord. But we have to understand that all such healings now are temporary. The reality is all of us will someday die, unless we happen to be around for that glorious day when Jesus returns. Thousands of years, thousands and billions of people have come before us, and they have come and lived, and they've died. Not because God doesn't love them, not because God can't heal them, but because it is appointed for us all to die once and then to face our Savior. And for those in the kingdom, that moment is a beautiful and wonderful moment where we no longer have to fight the battle against sin, where we are in an instant made completely whole. And the healings that we've got on a temporary basis all of a sudden become eternal. Our souls are free to choose, but we are tempted on this side of heaven. However, when we get to eternity, the temptations will be removed, and we will get to live for all time, live out the perfect righteousness that we've longed to live since the day we met Jesus. Our minds have the ability to know God in part. But when we cross over from this life to the next, we will be able to fully understand all that we can understand of who God is. We will understand all what we can understand of who we are and all we can understand of his creation. Hallelujah. And today, our relationships, we can experience restoration and reconciliation. It's amazing. Some of the greatest conflicts, some of the greatest rifts between family members or friends, we've seen it on occasion in our world, right? Where they're somehow able to come back and be reconciled and enjoy relationship again. But we recognize as well that that's not always going to be the case. And there's always going to be moments of tension between brothers and sisters in Christ, family members and friends. But when we again cross from this life to the next, all those relationships are immediately restored. And we get to enjoy the amazing peace that comes from loving relationships with all people for all time. Hallelujah. God has not only used his power to save us, he's not used his power just to redeem us. He's not even just used his power to heal us. The amazing things is he's done all of these for us, but one of the most amazing things of all in my mind is that he chooses to empower us. Jesus, the all-powerful one, resides in us. This is shocking, should be. This is humbling. This is awe-inspiring. He lives in us. And by living in us, he gives us this confidence that we are indeed his. when we can feel his presence with us, when we understand and know this truth that he resides within us, Colossians 1:27, right? That the he in us, right? This is the hope of our glory, right? To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. How could we be united? How can this dust of the earth, how can this sinful being, how can this weak rebellious being be united together with the master of the universe, the God of all, right? The creator of all, the all-powerful one. But it's true. And because he resides within us, it removes fear. 1 John 4:4. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Hallelujah. We don't have to fear the things of this world. We don't have to fear the evil one. We don't have to fear Satan. We don't have to fear other people and their sinful ways. We don't have to fear any of it. He who is in us is greater than he is in the world. Do we believe that? Do we understand that? Do we accept that truth? There are so many of us that can find ourselves cowering in fear from the world. Worried that somehow it's going to taint us or ruin us or destroy us in some way. We cannot be destroyed. Yes, they can kill the body, but we will be resurrected to life. Yeah. We have hope for all eternity. There's nothing they can do to us. But do we live that way? How many of us isolate from the world in fear instead of walking in the boldness and the courage of knowing that he is within me and that he gives us the strength to accomplish things that we could never do. I think this is one of the things the Lord has been pressing into me more this last even few months and year now maybe. We say this out loud all the time. Like, you know, it's, you know, God's power, right? Like, I can't do it. It's up to him. It's amazing. He's got to do it. But yet we don't live that way, right? And I realize that in my own life, I so often just live as if I can do it. And I have these things going on in my life, and I just so seldom pray about it. I have the enemy attacking in different ways, and I don't pray about it. I don't ask him to step in to deal with it. I have things that I feel like he's led me into to accomplish, but I can't do it. And I fall down and I stumble and I make mistakes. And instead of saying, God, you need to do it, I say, God, help me to do it. No, you do it, God. You do it through me. He wants to accomplish so much more than we could even imagine. This is unbelievable to me that the God of the universe chooses to dwell within me. And that as he dwells within me, he is the one who is powerful. He's the one with all the power, and he will use that power for my benefit. Unbelievable. But may the Lord help me to embrace this truth and live it out more and more each day. Not mistaking his power for my own, but continuing to put my trust in him and asking him in every aspect of my life, Lord, come and move, have your way, empower me to do your will today. Worship team, come on up. We have a God who is all powerful. And he uses that power to accomplish his will. And his will is perfect and good. He chooses to use that power on our behalf to save us, to resurrect us, to redeem us, to renew us, to heal us, to restore us, to empower us in order to join him in all that he is doing. Have you seen his power manifested in your life? Have you seen it? Has he saved you? Has he redeemed you? Has he healed you? Are you seeing his power manifested in different ways in your life throughout each day? Do you recognize it? Or is your tendency like mine to go, oh, wow, man, look what I did today. That was amazing. Man, I am so good. Do we see his power? Do we give him the glory for that power? Have you experienced his renewal? Are you seeing him bring restoration to your life? Who are you turning to in times of trouble? Are you turning to your own strength? Turning to the things that you've always leaned on? Other people? Checkbook, comfort, family, your own just determination. What are you leaning on? What are you turning to? He is the all-powerful God who has worked on our behalf, but more than that, is working in and through us. May he get all the glory. And may we continue to trust him and turn our eyes to him more and more each day, knowing that if he doesn't work, nothing will happen. You stand and let's respond to this morning's service in continued worship. If you'd like some prayer this morning, our prayer team will be in the back as well. We would love to come alongside you and pray for whatever may be going on in your heart and mind right now. Also, we just want to encourage you, just again, respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying. It's important for us to create a good rhythm of when God speaks to us, when he says something to us, that we respond to it immediately, do something with it. That we don't just let it go in one ear and out the other. You know, we have, you know, this information world we have, we're used to watching things and kind of forget it the second, you know, we're done watching it. May we not do that with the voice of the Lord. As he speaks, may we respond. And so use this time to respond to his voice as he's been speaking to you this morning. And follow him wherever he leads. Allow him to guide and direct you for his glory and for your blessing. All right, worship team, let's continue in worship. Lord, we thank you that you are all powerful. Isaiah 40, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, church, for being here with us this morning and worshiping together. Sweet worship service today. Again, we got another worship song. If you'd like to stay and worship, please do so. If you'd like to have some good conversation, encourage one another, please do that in the fellowship hall. And our prayer team is still available if you'd like prayer for whatever it may be. Ask him for something. Ask him, you know, to join in. You need God to act in whatever's going on in your life. You need him to act. And so sometimes having others pray with you about that can just be a great encouragement. So just encourage you to do so today. All right. God bless, church. Have a great Sunday.